A warm welcome from Amsterdam, and thanks for tuning in to a new episode of Game Consultant. Your host of today is Reinout.
It's Sunday, April the 19th. Welcome to Game Consultant. It was a busy week. I had several interviews, and one was actually with Sergei. Sergei is an investment associate at Mail.ru Games Ventures, and we were talking about an article that I read on GamesBeat. Gaming acquisitions and investments continued in Q1 despite the coronavirus. Funny enough, when we started, Sergei was asking like, hey, how do I say your name? I get that more often, so let's get down to it. How do you say my name?
Am I saying your name correct, Sergei?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I'm just thinking about your name. How is it pronounced correctly? René or
Reinout?
Reinout. Okay.
Yeah. And I lived for a long time in the US, and then they said Rein. They make it short, but Reinout. When my mom was angry at me, then the rolling R would be there, Reinout, and then I knew I was in trouble.
Okay, understood. So it's like a small trick.
Yeah.
It raised some kind of questions that I don't want to answer.
Yeah.
Then I should say, Rena.
Really, the R. I knew that I didn't come home then. I would wait for a while.
Well, we got that straight. Reinout. Anyways, the weekly items of Chris, the week of esports, Read Things, and we have Joachim telling his highlights about the gaming space. As said, the interview with Sergei. But let's first get down to some news, gaming news. So the first thing actually that I saw on LinkedIn was a message of Justin Berenbaum. He's saying, hey folks, it's official, Gamescom 220 canceled as a physical event. He's suggesting that we should hit a reset button for 2020. I agree. It's a shame. Another big conference not happening this year. That's a shame. Anyways, moving on. I saw that Keywords revenues was up 30% in 2019. Video game service and development giant Keyword Studios has reported a revenue increase of almost a third in 2019. The company saw $326.5 million, which, no, that's actually euros, guys. That's about 353. Yeah. Okay, let's do that again. So the company saw about $353 million in revenue for the year ending December 2019. That is a rise of the 30%. Also, the EBITDA went up. So all in all, a good year for Keywords Studios. Another. European mobile game downloads growing faster than spending. Sensor Tower finds March news installs were up 19% over February, while spending only did grew 12%. That's an interesting one. That one was actually on gamesindustry.biz. You might want to Google it and find it out. Another one from Games Industry, Riot is acquiring Hypixel. The League of Legends maker was already an early investor in the developer of the upcoming sandbox game Hytale. On VentureBeat Games, Newzoo, shooter games are growing during coronavirus, but esports forecast take a dip. Hey Chris, maybe that's something for you to look into. Players are spending more time in games, and it turns out PC shooters have become more popular during the pandemic. But total esports revenue for 2020 will likely be lower than previously forecast. And that's all according to Newzoo. As said, that is on GamesBeat. Might want to check it out. I'm having an interview this week. With the guys from Edison, they came out with a European video games, a safe haven in troubled times. They have that one line. I had to read it a few times, so I'll read it slowly to you. The general pre-crisis backdrop was a sector forecast to grow at 8.4% to 19 till 2022, reaching a total market size of $190 billion by 2022. So the industry is still growing. And then lastly, I saw something, gamers, hashtag play a part together. Ekrem, TMT corporate finance advisor of KPMG, wrote a blog post on LinkedIn. And he was a bit surprised to hear that the WHO, the World Health Organization, and the video game industry have teamed up on an initiative called hashtag play a part together. And yeah, it is there, and it's still out there. Activision Blizzard, Big Fish, Glue, Unity, they're all participating. And Ray Chambers, United States Ambassador to the WHO, was praising the efforts of the gaming industry, who through the use of hashtag PlayApartTogether initiative believes it will encourage even more people to stay safe and healthy, why they help flatten the curve and save lives. And that actually is interesting because he also mentioned that as a UK-based gamer and active advisor in this space, he's proud to see that UK-based studios are actively helping to promote the importance of self-isolation. Jason Kingsley, the CEO of Rebellion, proactively reached out to the Department for Digital, Culture, Media, and Sport to offer coronavirus safety advice within their titles. Rebellion is now displaying an on-screen safety message before gameplay begins. That's good. That's really good. Own initiatives. Anyways, let's move on with Chris.
Hey guys, Chris Reed here, back with another Reed Thinks. Look, there's no shortage of news and notes around esports these days, but I've been able to take three articles that I feel has some interesting talking points and layers. Let's go ahead and just dive right into them. First one's from finsmes.com, F-I-N-S-M-E-S.com. FaZe Clan raises $40 million in Series A funding. The round was led by Jimmy Iovine in Network NTWRK. The company intends to use the funds to support its expansion, player acquisitions, and operations. Interesting point here are the participation from the investors. So the investors in this round, really prominent names. So I'm going to name a few of these. If you're on video looking, you can obviously look at them. But Pitbull, Nyjah Houston, Yo Gotti, DJ Paul, Chris O'Donnell, NBA players such as Myers Leonard, Josh Hart, Jamal Murray, amongst other names there. Look, what does this mean? It means what we already knew. We already knew that esports is culture. Culture is esports. It's eating away at the mainstream. That's what it means. Look, and the names involved in this deal, it's very important. There's very prominent names involved from many different industries. So you're just seeing a really interesting collection of people that say, listen, this is important. This is important for their brand to get involved with esports, right? Their personal brand. And on the other side of it, they want to help build up the esports space as well. So a true partnership that works both ways in a two-way street. So I thought it was an interesting article because it's just, look, eating away at the mainstream, what comes to mind, and very prominent names getting involved. Now, look, they've been involved for a while. Don't take me the wrong way. This has been going on for years, right? But you're just seeing more and more of it. And I really don't feel that that's going to slow down. And the other note to this is, it's with the top tier teams. It's not just, so FaZe is not just about what tournaments they're winning. Okay. They're a content machine. They've got 215 million followers on social media, according to the article. So this is, let's say 200 million plus, right? So they've diversified around not just, okay, we got to go win tournaments. No, it's about content as well. And really, I would say that they're content first, and that creates a higher floor. And teams such as that, that are out there in the top tier, that put content at a very important level, that's more of an investable asset than just focusing on winning tournaments in that nature because of diversified. So another topic for another day, but I thought that was an interesting article there about FaZe. Second article from VentureBeat, BMW teams up with 5 global esports teams in a brand alliance. BMW said it will partner in a branding alliance with 5 of the world's top esports organizations that have teams that compete in League of Legends. Those 5 teams are Cloud9, Fnatic, FunPlus Phoenix, G2 Esports, and T1. BMW as a brand is expanding its involvement in the world of online games and esports, which are appealing to the younger generation of potential car buyers. Okay, what did I just say? That last sentence, BMW wants to be in front of the younger generation, so they get involved in esports. Pretty simple, right? So with them doing this, jumping into the deep end with esports, my question is, what are some other global brands that see this and start to move? Now, a couple of interesting points. Number one is that BMW, this isn't the first time that they've been involved in esports. They were involved in 2017. They were a partner in the European League of Legends finals in Paris, according to the article. And then in 2019, they partnered with the sim racing season, which was in Munich, Germany. So this isn't the first time that they've been involved, but I wanted to scroll down here and highlight this sentence because I think this is very important. The BMW brand will not only act as a sponsor for these top teams, but also as a partner to introduce the esports discipline to an even wider audience. So we talked about the two-way street, the partnership. That's what they're saying that they're going to do, and that's what their vision is. So long-term, two-way street, where we want to be a part of esports, BMW saying that, but then they want to pull esports into their ecosystem as well and BMW's reach. So I find that very interesting. I think that's a very important statement that they made, because it's not a transactional, hey, I'm looking for a 3x ROI in this amount of time, and then we're out. So this seems like they're saying all the right things as far as long-term and what a partnership truly is. So I thought this was really interesting news from VentureBeat. Last article, also from VentureBeat, Riot Games acquires Hypixel Studios, maker of upcoming Minecraft-like game. Riot Games has acquired Hypixel Studios, a maker of an upcoming game that resembles the popular titles Minecraft and Roblox. Hypixel's Hytale is going to be a user-generated content game, a community-powered sandbox world with a blocky 8-bit art style. First, let me just say this. Riot's on fire. Absolutely on fire. Man, they are really diversifying themselves across different sections or sectors of the esports space in different titles. I mean, look at what the potential of Valorant. I know there's so much hype around it and things like that, but there's so much potential with Valorant. And then now they're getting into the immersive worlds like a Minecraft, like a Roblox. We've talked about Roblox a ton on the LinkedIn shows, as far as, you know, like Andreessen Horowitz fund came into the Series G and led a $150 million round at a $4 billion valuation is what Roblox got. So that's huge. It's massive. These type of games are massive, with these environments, immersive social layers and social interaction. And this trailer is really interesting. If you're watching the video, to go on this article and actually watch the video, it's really interesting. But it makes sense what Riot's doing. And if you don't know that Tencent owns 100% of Riot, and they did this. So 2011, they acquired, I think, 93% of Riot. And then 2015, they said, okay, we'll just take the rest of you. So Tencent, the mothership, is kind of what I call it. You know, it seemed like they could do no wrong. And the list of who they're involved with and what they've done over the years since 2010, roughly, it really is incredible with the portfolio they've built out. So they're making all the right moves. And I didn't even mention Project L, getting involved in the FGC. So all the moves they've made, especially just even the last 6 months, has just been really incredible. And it's going to be interesting to see over the next couple of years what happens with these titles and how they start building themselves out across different communities. But we talk about Roblox a lot. So, and we talk about these immersive environments a lot and the social layer. And it's really starting to heat up for the more mainstream perspective of gaming as social media. And we even remember how Epic came out and said that they're treating Fortnite as a social world and social platform and not just a game. So I think all that's all connected and very important to kind of keep track of. Guys, hope you guys enjoyed. I thought those were some of the most important articles of the week. If you want to connect with me, you can reach out to me on LinkedIn. It's Chris Reed, C-R-I-S-R-E-E-D. I appreciate the time, and we'll see you on the next one.
Thanks, Chris. And that was another item, Reed Thinks. And, well, you got his credentials. Check him out on LinkedIn. And also his videos. He's doing live interviews on LinkedIn. I'm trying to watch most of them. It's not always possible, but a very interesting guest he has. Level Up Experience on LinkedIn. So let's continue now with Joachim, Elite Game Developers, and his week of gaming.
Thanks, Reinout. This is Joachim from Elite Game Developers. I've been writing a newsletter for several months now where I post gaming startup related content. Topics include how to raise VC capital for your startup, building a company culture, and defining a mission and vision, etc. So here are topics from my newsletter this week. You can subscribe to the email newsletter. When you go to elitegamedevelopers.com, you'll find a section there where you can do the sign up. So this week's newsletter, I'm covering these kind of topics. I wanted to share, people who are subscribing to the newsletter, my plan on how to give out information to people. So I'm trying to share everything that I've learned, new things that I've learned in the latest week. I'm writing an article, putting out a podcast, a newsletter. I've expanded even to a YouTube channel recently, and now I'm getting more and more active on Twitter. So here's a breakdown of what I'm doing regarding content creation. You can go and check out what I wrote on the newsletter regarding Twitter if you go to my blog at elitegamedevelopers.com/blog. You'll find it there under the news section. It's number 25. Also this week, I shared a template for allocating stock options to your employees in your company. Startups can't really compete on salary with more prominent companies, but they have something that bigger companies can't offer: attractive stock options to buy shares of the company. So in this template, we use an allocation formula that takes into account the role of the person, their seniority, their choice of preferring equity over salary, and the stage that they joined the company. There's also an example company in the template where you can see how a 100-person company would allocate their stock options from pre-seed to Series A. You can find everything related to the stock options from my blog. If you go there, you can just look up stock option allocations and you'll find it. Also, on my podcast this week, on the Elite Game Developers podcast, I had Ken Go from Deca Games. I'm really amazed about this games company. They're probably the most innovative games company, especially in the way that they saw how differently a company in gaming could operate. Instead of coming up with games concepts and building them into games, Ken's team seeks out earlier game, like these kind of older games out there in mobile, and then they acquire these games from the developers and start running them and keep putting updates into these games. So after this, they breathe life into these older games, extending the lifespan and keeping the revenue basically stable. So in this episode, we talked to Ken about his background and how he was able to convince the first studios to give up their titles. Ken has built a fantastic business. It's now, I think, 8 games total, which includes Realm of the Mad God, Zombie Catchers, Crime City, Dragon Veil, and more interesting games are coming up. And On the newsletter, I'm sharing a bunch of other stuff as well. So if you can find the time, go to Elite Game Developers and sign up for the newsletter. And you can read the previous news items that I've put out inside the blog section. That's all for now, people. Stay safe and stay well.
Thanks, Joachim. Lovely item again, and see you next week. Moving on with the main interview with Sergey, an investment associate of Mail.ru Games Ventures. Read the article, gaming acquisitions and investments continued in Q1 despite the coronavirus. A very interesting interview and a fun interview. As said, next week I have on Wednesday another one, also about financials, which I think is important during these times of the coronavirus. And but let's continue with Sergey. So today, I'm actually having an interview, or actually I have a talk with Sergey. Sergey is an investment associate at Mail.ru Games Ventures. Very interesting article I read on GamesBeat, gaming acquisitions and investments continued in Q1 despite coronavirus. Hello, Sergey, and thank you for joining today.
Good afternoon, everyone.
I really saw a very nice article, but before we go into that, can you explain a little bit about Mail.ru Games Ventures and also introduce yourself?
Yep. Okay. So I'm working as the investment associate at Mail.ru Games Ventures. This is a fund dedicated and looking basically for the promising video game studios around the globe. Right now, we are more focused on the, let's say, American markets and European, Western Europe in particular.
Yeah.
So we are not only investing in the developers, but also looking at the ecosystem projects. It is kind of the companies that are, let's say, closely connected with the video game and the entertainment industries.
Yeah, cool. And in that way, you actually came up to write a report, or is that something you're doing more often on an annual basis, quarterly basis, or how's that working?
Yeah, I have just, regarding my background, I'm the guy from the investment banking industry, and I was basically, before my Mail.ru Games Ventures, working in the, let's say, with the more traditional kind of the sectors, like, I don't know, pharmacy, industrial,
yeah.
And so on. And after the joining the fund and looking at the game industry, I found out that basically there are not that much materials available for the people
yeah.
to read about the recent investment news, to know what is happening in the market. And I thought it might be a good idea to share with the people what I'm thinking about it and share the data that I have collected.
Yeah.
So this was my basic idea, let's say. And right now I have started my own Telegram channel.
Yeah.
It is Invest Game.
Yeah.
This is how it is called. And I write short notes about the transactions. Sometimes I share some kind of my thoughts, what I'm thinking about this particular transaction,
yeah.
and also have my blog on Medium. So it's more like, I would say, my hobby rather than a task or a part of my job.
Yeah. Well, it's very helpful, I think, for a lot of people just to dive in a little bit deeper. And obviously, we see the news on games industry, Pocket Gamer, GamesBeat. But it is interesting to see what people familiar with the deal or familiar with investments, what they think. So that's cool. So later on, I'll definitely going to ask you for the links for the Telegram and for the blog. So I saw investors and funds, they are pumping more than 700 million game startups. More than 700 million game startups in the first quarter. If you look back on it, if you compare the first quarter of 2020 compared to 2019 and 2018, what would you reckon? What were the highlights?
I think it's important to mention that, first of all my research is based on the tracked publicly announced transactions.
Yeah.
And therefore, it might have certain limitations in terms of the numbers. So therefore, I would primarily focus on the general trends observed in the findings, and they should be somehow correct.
Yeah.
So regarding your question, is 0.7 billion invested into the game companies, and how is it related to the previous, let's say, quarter of 2019? I think that we observe a huge decline.
Yeah.
And basically, this happened because of the let's say small amount of huge transactions. Because as we make it, as we may see in the previous years, when we're speaking about the investments into the gaming companies, it is usually when we have, let's say, several 5 to 10 huge VC rounds.
Yeah.
And therefore, we have a huge amount of the investments. In this year, we have only observed two large transactions. It was Scopely.
Yeah.
With a Series D round and Roblox with a Series G round.
Yeah.
All of the remaining investments were not that let's say high, but nevertheless the amount, as we may observe so far, were growing, starting from the 2020. So it was 13 deals in January, 22 in February, and 31 in March.
Yeah. And so the total volume of game merchant acquisition was $1.6 billion, and that was actually compared to $1 billion of the full 6 months of the first half of 2019. So bottom line, if I read that right, we did 600 million more already in the first quarter than the first half year of 2019.
Yep, that's absolutely correct. And I think that here we might observe the trend that right now corporate VC funds and actually the strategic guys, they are more active in the gaming market. So the consolidation game continues.
Yeah.
And what we observed right now is that the amount of, let's say, mergers and acquisitions is growing each year, and that actually the deal value is also growing. For example, this year we have observed such huge transactions by the Swedish video game holdings,
yeah,
like the acquisition of Storm8 by Stillfront Group,
yeah,
for $300 million, and also Embracer Group made a large acquisition actually of Saber Interactive.
Yeah, got it.
In the meantime, Tencent is still active, as always.
Yeah, so, always on the list.
Yes, they have, through their subsidiaries, Garena, acquired Phyonix Labs for roughly 150, and also through Miniclip, which is basically Tencent-backed company, also acquired Ilion Dynamics. These were also quite large acquisitions that influenced the volume of mergers and acquisitions in the first quarter.
Yeah, so bottom line, COVID-19, Corona had no influence whatsoever up till now.
Yep, I would say I'm trying to explain why did it happen actually, why we see still observe that the amount of transactions Q1 and the volume, let's say the mergers and acquisitions, is growing. The reason behind it, I think, is because we have some kind of the delay in terms of the deal making and initial negotiations.
Yeah.
What I mean by this is that when you start, let's say, initial negotiation, kind of the term sheet, and agree on certain terms, then usually 2-3 months takes to close the deal. Yeah. And even if you have this coronavirus issue, you will probably not stop the deal because already have been, already walked out, and
yeah,
you have some huge sunk costs. And moreover, entertainment industry is considered as a recession-proof.
Yeah.
Let's say
even growth.
Business.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Got it. So, bottom line, everyone that was actually in negotiations or already going through DD has made, well, cost of acquisition or investment, and therefore they mostly finished it either before or in the beginning of coronavirus, which was anywhere. Yeah, March of this year. So if we now are looking ahead, I mean, well, we don't have a glass ball, but let's say
if I had one. Well, that would be nice.
Yeah, I would be out of here. But let's say in June, I mean, what I'm reading, governments are sort of opening up. We're slowly coming back to our offices. There is that 1.5 meters that I'm hearing, everyone, social distancing. Mm-hmm. You mentioned something else, the slow growth that we could foresee is also because you can't have one-on-one meetings. It's going to be interesting if I'm actually at a game conference and I have to yell to someone else that is almost 2 meters away. Fun though. But if you look at it, so second half of this year, most likely we sort of be working. What do you anticipate on the rest of the remaining of 2020 and expectations of 2021? Is there anything that you can say about it, or that you have certain thoughts about it, indicators, anything you could share?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think from my point of view, again, I may be not 100% correct, as you said, I don't have an eyeball.
Yeah.
So from my point of view, venture funds will probably decline the activity.
Yeah.
And this is basically related to the way they are organized and the way that they have limited partners, which observing this quite huge economic uncertainty might decrease the activity in terms of the making further investments, making new relationships, as I mentioned, but rather like continue on investments of the existing portfolio companies and focusing more on getting money from the existing companies. At the same time, when we're looking at the corporate investment, we might observe absolutely different picture. Because right now, because of such huge uncertainty and the risks associated with this, we might see the decrease in the valuations of, let's say, interesting companies, even the gaming companies, because there is not that much, say, money right now in the market. Yeah. And those who will be looking for some kind of the investments for further growth or having some troubles, they'll be an attractive targets for the strategics.
Yeah.
Who would most likely use this time to continue on acquisitions. By the way, just recently, last week, THQ raised 146 million, if I'm not mistaken, through the issue of shares to continue on acquisition game. And I think that such huge players as Tencent, as Embracer Group, formerly THQ, and ourselves, MRGV Fund, we will continue on investing, looking for the promising projects.
Yeah. Yeah, that was actually funny you mentioned it. It was $164 million, I think, that THQ actually did land. How was that? Was that they were issuing shares, right?
Yes, it was directed share issue.
Yeah, okay, got it. And well, we're talking about these kind of companies. So IPOs, I mean, everyone is saying, yeah, games industry, recession-proof. In fact, I spoke to someone that actually said, well, you know what? I see revenues going up. Some of our costs are going down because of employees that the state is actually covering. And those revenues will stay up for about 1.5, 2 years. So you would think interesting, but you just said like, hey, valuations might actually be going down. Is there normally, I would say you work with certain multiples on revenues or EBITs, like profits. Mm-hmm. So that's going to change, you say, and what kind of effect next to that? That's a separate question. Do you expect with, IPOs, are we going to see IPOs or will that be put on the long-term?
Yeah, regarding the multiples, so the first question, I think that this year we have already observed a huge volatility in terms of the share price of the largest video game companies, like Blizzard, for example, like Ubisoft, and the stocks has already reached the previous, let's say, the February mark, and it seems like that the recovery is on the market, and we actually might observe it right now looking at the share price. But at the same time, I think this short-term increase in the, let's say, in the players spending more time into the games, more activity in the gaming market, this is a huge positive sign for the Q1. But at this, but in the meantime, we will observe probably, I'm not 100% sure, the delay in the production of AAA titles. And this is going to influence the price and influence the way we're looking at these large players. we don't know for sure. All of them, some of them already actually disclosed that there's going to be a delay. For example, yeah. Last of Us 2 is going to be delayed for uncertain time. And I think that given that our industry is, let's say, heavily relying on these blockbusters and these AAA titles, it will influence a lot the share price in Q2 and in Q3 probably. When the companies will disclose eventually that there's going to be a postpone or some kind of the delay in the publishing this, let's say, great games.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you mention it, because I had a chat with Oliver two episodes ago, and he's basically saying, yeah, well, at this point, a lot of advertisers are stopping, freezing their budget. So it means right now acquiring new users is rather cheap. So for soft launches, it's interesting. But then on the other hand, he basically said, yeah, well, people in America that can max out on credit cards can't pay. If you're dependable on ad revenues, then yeah, CPMs are low. So, and actually what you say, yeah, the delay is one thing, but also if everyone is delayed and everyone is coming out and releasing their games at the same time or in 1 month or 2 months, you get about 8-9 games that are potential, let's say, blockbusters or top. You can. How do you get those new users? And two, can you afford them? And three, what about lifetime values? I mean, how do you see that? I mean, those are various dynamics of game production and game release that might affect what you say, also the valuation and also how investors perceive the games market.
Yep, here it's very interesting question. Thank you for raising it. I think that right now what is going to happen with the player behavior is that they get oversupplied by all these video games, and they play and consume everything that is left in our industry. So let's say all AAA titles probably will be already passed by the players who love games. And they'll be searching and looking and waiting for these new AAA titles to come to the market to play. Because basically right now you have motivated them to play more, stay at home and enjoy the games, basically. And while we have certain titles that is going to come in September, for example, Cyberpunk, but this is a good question. What is going to happen with the delivery to the market, all of these titles? Because probably right now companies should think about these delays in production and looking for the good time to publish their game, given that other players, let's say other huge players, also will publish their games probably in the same period of time. And of course, it will influence the market, it will influence the share price, and it will influence the financials of the companies when they will select the time to publish the game and to get this game available for the players.
No.
By the way, we're also observing probable delays in the consoles the market, the new generation of consoles. So this is also going to be an interesting thing. Because right now, both companies, if I'm not mistaken, said that there is going to be no delay, and that is going to be the time to market is the same. So let's see. Let's see what is going.
PlayStation 5 should be now, right? I mean, I think they were releasing PlayStation 5 around this time, or am I wrong?
I think this year.
Okay, this year. Okay, so they have 5 months to go. Okay, cool. Ending on a positive note, as you said, self-isolate, a lot of new people are getting introduced to the interactive entertainment. So more new gamers are coming to the party. They're getting accustomed to what it is to play video games and watch it. I'm not going to talk about esports and streaming because no offline events, but online events are booming. So that's all, everyone knows that. But what I found interesting, you said M&A activity will probably grow, like the recent announcements that we just said. So that's a good thing. And so we had 2000, 2008/2009. Those were crises. There were crises at the time, but you say we're more sustainable. And then you're you're mentioning some very interesting names like Play Ventures, Makers Fund, London Venture Partners, Bitcraft, equity houses like Andreessen Horowitz, KKR, Silver Lake. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So bottom line, what you're saying, and let's end it on a positive note, you feel like, okay, gaming is hot, new gamers come to the party, esports is doing top numbers in viewers. I read something that NFL, NBA, blah blah blah, all the soccer and other ball kinds of games in the US, that all together make less revenues than gaming. So we can actually deal with this crisis. Is that an observation, or is that something you want to say something about?
Yep. Actually, what I'm thinking is that not only right now we project this, you know, kind of positive short-term dynamics, but it will influence also in the long term. And the entertainment industry itself proved that it's, let's say, right now is proving to everyone that this is actually the industry that can work from home, that can accelerate player playing behavior, and that can actually increase its activity during these times. And even it is not so expensive as other entertainment industries. And therefore, people are moving more and more to the games as the cheapest category available in the entertainment market. And I think that at the end of the day, all this COVID-19 thing will eventually lead to the positive dynamics of our industry. And it will show everybody who were concerned about this industry previously that this is a good sector, economic sector to invest in. And there are money left. A lot, and people love playing games.
And so then, I'm a developer. I'm an indie. I'm actually working with some friends around the world, and I want to get my game out. I need to find a publisher or whatever. Do some marketing. Already very difficult, the indie scene. Any tips, advice for them? I mean, are we looking on the bright side? No worries, guys. Gaming is still going up. Anything that indies can get a good sense, a good feel here?
Well, first of all, keep safe. Not go in the streets.
Exactly.
Second of all, I think that right now, probably some companies, some small companies may have some troubles and issues. And there'll be, of course, people will say left their jobs and looking for new companies. And as we observe right now, the unemployment rate will probably increase up to 10-15% in the United States, for example, one of the largest gaming market. And but at the same time, I think that we will not only survive but become stronger. So overall, I have a positive feeling regarding our industry. Maybe some sort of investments will decrease, but at the same time, the corporate players, the ones who actually are employers, they will have, they will increase their financial position and improve it. And therefore, for the developers, it should be a good sign. So I think that they'll be not cut off in terms of the salaries and so on and so forth. But will be more work, more things to be done, and more products to be delivered to the market.
Got it. Cool. Then, Sergey, I want to thank you for this. I'm going to send you an email later on about the links for your Telegram channel and the blog. And I'm also going to ask you then in the email, if you ever have very interesting ideas or highlights or whatsoever, let me know. Then I'll call you again, and we put it in our podcast.
Okay.
But for now, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And talk to you soon.
It was my pleasure. Okay, thank you. Have a nice day.
All right.
Bye.
You too. So that was all for today. Lovely episode with Sergey. Thank you. And Chris and Joachim for their items. I'm getting quite some inbounds in my inbox. If I'm not responding, do send it again and say Reinout.
then I know I'm in trouble and I will respond ASAP. In any case, thank you very much. I wouldn't mind if you would share this with your friends and gaming people. So thank you for listening and ciao for now.
This was all for today. Thanks so much for listening to Game Consultant. Tune in next week for a brand new episode. And remember, do share this podcast with other members of the games industry.